message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
The Lord. We are not mourning today, but we are celebrating the living Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And this morning we'll be looking at the topic, unveiling the implications of His resurrection. Unveiling the implications of His resurrection. Today, as we celebrate the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to know that God is going to visit you with the resurrection power in the name of Jesus. That amen is like somebody that doesn't believe that Christ is living, that Christ has resurrected. I said, God will visit you with the resurrection power this morning in the name of Jesus. The resurrection of Christ clearly showed to us that Christ is not just a man like you and I. Christ is not just a mortal man. Christ is divine. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Christ is what? Is divine. And I want you to know that Christianity begins with the resurrection of Christ. Hallelujah. Christianity begins with the resurrection of Christ. Turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as I read verse 17 to 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I read from verse 17 to 19. Hallelujah. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sin. If Christ is not risen, then our faith is vain. Then Christianity is fake. But we thank God because Christ is risen. Then they also which are falling, go back to verse 18, please. Then they also which are falling asleep in Christ perish. But we thank God those that are falling asleep in Christ, they are not perishing, they are rested. Because Christ is alive. Turn to your neighbor, say, Christ is alive. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But we bless God because our hope is not only in this life. Our hope is in the living Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can we go to that same scripture, verse 21? Can we move to verse 21? 1 Corinthians 15, 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. The resurrection of the dead came by Jesus. Verse 22. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Verse 22. Media, please, I will encourage that you move fast with me this morning. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Verse 22. I read from here. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. We are made alive in Christ. We are made alive because Christ is risen. Turn to your neighbor, say, Christ is risen. The resurrection of Christ is what makes alive. And we need to know that not only did Christ resurrect, His resurrection is what has gained us eternal life. It is the resurrection of Christ that has gained us eternal life. The greatest news in Christianity is the resurrection of Christ. The greatest news in Christianity is the resurrection of Christ. It is the chief cornerstone of our faith. It is the chief cornerstone of our faith. And without faith and belief in the resurrection, there cannot be salvation. Without faith and belief in the resurrection of Christ, there cannot be what? There cannot be salvation. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Thou shalt be what? Thou shalt be saved. Resurrection is what releases unto us the power for salvation. The power for salvation. You know, what we are celebrating today is beyond the death of Christ. We are celebrating the assurance of a living Christ. Turn to your neighbor, say, we are celebrating the assurance of a living Christ. When you say something is assurance, that is, that thing is certain, that thing is sure, that thing is confirmed. I pray that the Lord will confirm the resurrection power in your life in the name of Jesus. We are celebrating, we are not celebrating an empty tomb. Yes, we know that the tomb of Jesus is empty. But we are celebrating the power that is in Christ. Hallelujah. We are celebrating the living Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Easter is what opens you up to the triumph of good over evil. Triumph of life over death. Triumph of good over evil. By the virtue of Easter, we have access to eternal life. We have access to triumph over death. Praise the Lord. Triumph over evil by the reason of the risen Christ. Turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. Say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us unto a lively hope. He has done what? Begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. He has begotten you and I unto a lively hope by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. To an inheritance incorruptible. Hallelujah. To an inheritance incorruptible. We have been resurrected even from death to life. To an inheritance in verse 4 that is incorruptible, undefiled. Hallelujah. An inheritance that is incorruptible, that is undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Hallelujah. And as many that have had this encounter, they will be filled with joy because death has no power over you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, when you talk about death, many people are so scared. Naturally, every man is scared about death. Praise the Lord. But for a believer, it is a transition to a glorious life, eternal life. Praise the Lord. And that is made available because Christ is living. Christ resurrects. And that gives us that grace and that hope. And this morning we are looking at the implications of this resurrection of Christ. Praise the Lord. Quickly, what is implication? What is implication? Implication can be described as an assertion, conclusion that can be made or drawn from something. An assertion, a conclusion that can be made or drawn from something. A lot of time we tell ourselves, don't implicate yourself. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm taking you somewhere this morning. Number two, it could be described as a logical relationship or conclusion between two propositions in which the first validates the second. It can be described as a logical relationship between two propositions in which the first validates the second. That is, if the first is true, the second is what? Is true. Hello? If the first is true, it means what? The second is true. In other words, if Christ has overcome death, it means I and you, we have done what? We have overcome death. Praise the Lord. The death of Jesus validates our triumph over sin and over death. Praise the Lord. So what are these implications of his resurrection? Number one, the resurrection of Jesus takes all power from the devil. That's number one. All power from the devil has been taken away. One of the implications is the taking away of all powers from the devil. When Christ died at the cross, Satan was defeated. Praise the Lord. If the devil has known that killing Jesus is going to put him down, Jesus will not be killed. But he didn't know. And as Jesus died, the Bible says he took away the sin of the entire world and reconciled us back to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. His death defeated the devil and collect all power. All power were collected from the devil by the reason of the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14. Inasmuch For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is what? The devil. That through death he might destroy. Through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is what? The devil. So the devil has been defeated. And released, verse 15, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Through fear of death, many have been subject to bondage. And he came and delivered man from this bondage by the reason of his death. Praise the Lord. When Christ died and resurrected, Satan was disarmed and defeated. The death and the resurrection of Jesus disarmed the enemy completely. I pray for someone this morning. Every enemy of your life shall be disarmed and defeated completely in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I'm reading from verse 12. From verse 12. Colossians chapter 2 from verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him, through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Buried with him in baptism, and hath quickened together, and you being dead in your sin and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together. He has quickened you and I together with what? With him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Verse 14, having forgiven you all what? Trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And we continue, and having spoiled what? Principalities and powers, he made a shew of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Can we shout a triumphant hallelujah? Christ triumphed over principalities, over powers, over every forces of darkness by the reason of his death. Christ, by his resurrection, collected the key to death from Satan. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. The Bible made it clear to us, he collected the key. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And I laid his right, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Verse 18. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Hallelujah. Christ has collected the key of hell and death. And that is why when you give your life to Christ, you are not bound by the power of fear of death or by the oppression of the enemy. The legality of the enemy has been blotted away. The legality of the enemy were the ordinances that were contrary to you and I. He took them away, blotted them away, and nailed them to his cross so that you and I could be free. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Number two, the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ conferred power and dominion on us. It conferred what? Power and dominion on us. Power and dominion has been confirmed in the book of Luke chapter 10 verse 19. Luke chapter 10 verse 19 says, behold, I give unto you what? Power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, I repeat again, and nothing, and what? And something, and some few things, and some few, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Praise the Lord. They can't hurt you. Can't. Unless you permit. They can't. Praise the Lord. Because we have been redeemed by the Lord Jesus. And we carry this power that is made available by his resurrection. The resurrection of Christ nullifies the hold and the power of the devil over your lives. Nullifies them completely. Nullifies it completely. Every accusation of the devil was blotted away by his death and his resurrection. And it has given us power and dominion. The resurrection of Jesus Christ opened the door of heaven for power. The door for you to access heavenly powers was made available by his resurrection power. You know, via his resurrection, we access power for dominion. And our hope is beyond the grave. We are dominating. At the beginning, man lost his dominion via the power of sin. And this particular dominion was not lost like that. You know, sometimes you can lose something, you don't know where it is. Hello? Maybe your phone, you misplace it, then you are searching. You know within your heart that this phone is not stolen, it's only what? Missing. That gives you a little what? Hope that you are going to find it. But when you are so sure, you saw the thing when the thing was collected, as in koro koro like this, it was taken away. You know that, well, this one is gone. Then you start planning, how do I get another phone? At the beginning, man handed over his dominion to the devil when man fell in the garden. The dominion was handed over to the devil. But God made a provision. God did what? He made a provision for us through the second Adam, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, look, even though you have collected what is theirs, because God, when he made man, he told man, he said, have dominion, subdue, rule, take over, exercise authority and power. But man willingly handed it over. And God said, don't worry, I'm going to make a way. And God promised, and he said, look, the son, the seed of the woman, will bruise the head of the devil and get the dominion back. This is it. A woman does not carry seed. It is the man that carries seed. But you know what? The power of the Lord overshadowed the woman. And the seed of the Lord entered into the woman. And the woman brought forth our Lord Jesus Christ. And power for liberation, for victory came forth. Shout hallelujah! So, via the resurrection of Jesus, we have dominion. We have liberty. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the living Jesus. Number three, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ gave us access to our inheritance in Christ Jesus. Gave us access to our inheritance. See, Christ restored man back to his lost sonship. The lost sonship of man was restored by the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was what I was just talking about a little while earlier. If you turn with me your Bible to the book of Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 from verse 8. Romans chapter 5 from verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Now, let's go to verse 12. Therefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. See that? Death came by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Now let's go to verse 13. For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that have not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, who Jesus Christ, has abound what? Unto many. Grace abound to many. Now go to verse 17. Go to verse 17. We have just finished verse 17. Okay, now let's read verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto what? Justification of life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The free gift, justification, came unto all. Verse 21. That same scripture, verse 21. And read. That as the sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign unto what? True righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life is obtained by Jesus Christ our Lord. So our inheritance in Christ, our inheritance in God was restored by the restoration of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And that is why Easter is a celebration that we must take with sobriety. It's a period of sobriety. It's a period for us to acknowledge the death and the resurrection of Jesus with sincerity, and to search ourselves to know if we are nailing him to the cross the second time, or we are manifesting and expressing his grace upon our life. Praise the Lord. John chapter 11, I read verse 25. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the word, the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, through he were dead, though he were dead, yet shall be what? Shall he live. Praise the Lord. Verse 26. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Ask your neighbor, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Praise the Lord. You know, Jesus said to that woman, I am the resurrection and the life. I wonder what the woman would be thinking. Then Jesus said, look, if you believe in me, you will not die. The woman said, all our fathers, they paid. She started telling Jesus, they died. Are you telling me? Jesus said, I'm the tree of life. And I tell you this morning, your inheritance is eternal life. And as you assess this via the resurrection of Jesus Christ, may you work in it in the name of Jesus. Christ's resurrection changes us from the bond of the law to the liberty of sons in the covenant. Changes us from the bond of the law to the liberty of sons in the covenant. We are qualified to become sons of God via what? The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are qualified. You and I are qualified to become sons of God via what? Via the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Number four. Peace and rest is given to us. Peace and rest is given to us via the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ shed on the cross obtained for us peace and rest with God. Peace and rest with God was obtained via the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross of Calvary. You know why? Because every handwriting that was contrary to us has been blotted away, has been taken away by his resurrection. In the book of 2 Colossians chapter 2, down from verse 10 downward. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. His death removed every hostility between you and God. At the fall of man, there was hostility between man and God. But the death of Jesus took away the hostility that was between man and God. And that's why Jesus said in the book of John chapter 14 verse 27, say, my peace I leave with you. My peace I leave with you. Because he's the peacemaker. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be what? Be afraid. He's coming restore us. The hostility was taken away. When Jesus Christ died, the Bible says the veil that separates the temple from the holiest of holies was torn in the middle and torn apart. That hostility that was between man and God was destroyed. There is now direct access to God. Man began to enjoy direct access to God. Before then, there was no direct access. Even the high priest, for him to enter the holies of holy, we have to do a lot of sacrifice and cleansing. Even at that, they would tie a chain around his leg and put jingle bells on the tail of his clothes. So as he enters, and he will enter once in a year to go and make atonement, if they are not hearing tickling of his clothes moving, it means the man is what? The man don't go. So they will just quietly draw him out. Praise the Lord. But when Christ died, the veil was broken. The wall of partition was destroyed. Access to the holies of holies was given to as many that believed in him. To them has he given the power to become sons of God. Hallelujah. Sonship was restored. Peace was restored. The coming of Jesus brought peace to the world. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. We have peace with God. Hallelujah. Jesus brought peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So when you have faith in Jesus and you believe in him, your peace with God is restored. You see, when you give your life to Christ, one of the first signs that makes you to know that you are now born again is you will have peace. One unusual peace will come upon you. No matter how bad you were before, no matter where you were coming from, when you give your life to him, you experience peace. How many of us have experienced it before? Hallelujah. And your peace shall be permanent in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. I decree today that your peace shall be full in Jesus, in the name of Jesus. A lot of people live in constant fear. One of the things that make you to know you are not living right with God is when you have fear. You see, when you have done something wrong, let's say mommy has cooked a soup and you have gone to take some meat inside without permission. Remember those days. And mommy comes back, say, ah, who ate this? You say, I did not know there is meat inside. Nobody is asking you if there is meat inside or not. Immediately you see mommy, you will be afraid. Yes or no? You will be afraid. You would naturally be afraid. But when you are righteous, there is nothing. You will be what? You will be calm and be bold. Lack of peace brings fear. But we thank God that God has defeated the enemy and has restored our peace. Praise the Lord. You see, one of the things that the devil used to torment people is to take away the fear. I mean, to take the peace of people away. And once the peace is taken away, fear comes in. And once there is fear, there will be no faith. And if there is no faith, it is impossible to please God. Praise the Lord. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. You become powerless. But we thank God that Jesus has restored our peace. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus has restored my peace. Hallelujah. Are you sure Jesus has restored your peace? Number 5 is joy and strength. Joy came to the world through Jesus. And one of the reasons why Jesus Christ died is that he might restore and obtain for us the joy of salvation. He might restore and obtain for us the joy of salvation. The joy of salvation was lost at Eden, and Christ obtained it back at the cross. That joy of salvation that was lost in Eden was obtained back on the cross. His death is the supreme expression of God's love to man. And that is why where there is love, there is what? There is joy. I want you to know that the death of Christ brings so much joy. He's the only man that died and the world is celebrating that he died. Every other person Every other person, when they die, the world, everybody will cry. But when Jesus died, it brought joy. Why? Because his death and his resurrection restore back that which was lost. Praise the Lord. And that is why when you are a believer, you know God, you must constantly let your heart be filled with joy. Don't allow the enemy to take away your joy. Don't allow the enemy, I repeat, to take away your joy. Because he cannot give joy. The Bible says the enemy has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And Jesus Christ said what? He said, I have come to do what? To give life, to do the opposite. To do the opposite. Hallelujah. He has come to kill, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus has come to do what? To give life. And to give it what? Abundantly. Hallelujah. Abundant life is your portion. Abundant life is your portion. Abundant life is your portion. Don't allow the enemy to take away your joy. Don't give him access to your joy. Don't allow him to steal your joy. Joy is not obtainable by material things. Joy is obtainable because Christ gives joy. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. My prayer for someone today is that your joy will not be stolen by the enemy in the name of Jesus. I say your joy will not be stolen by the enemy in the name of Jesus. And perhaps if you are still your joy, I decree that that joy is restored back in the name of Jesus. I said that joy shall be restored back unto you in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Number six is redemption from the curse of the law and the curse of life. From the curse of the law and the curse of life. Curses of life. You see, the enemy uses people and enchantment and all sorts of mediums to place curses on people. But you know, curses cannot work if you are not under the curse of the law. Hallelujah. If you are not under the curse of the law, the curses of life cannot work. Before Christ, there was no escape from the law. But glory to God, his death and his resurrection has freed us from the curse of the law. The full demand of law, of the law, has been paid fully by Christ. We are not justified by our work. We are not free from the curse of the law by our deed. But we are free by the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn your Bible with me to the book of Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, as I read from verse 16. The book of Galatians chapter 2 from verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be what? Be justified. No flesh can be justified by the works of the law. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. Christ cannot be. Let's continue, please. We are going to verse 20. For if I build again the things which I destroy, I make myself a transgressor. That is, if you know God, you are born again, yet you are still living in sin, you are making yourself a transgressor to the justification that was obtained for you by Jesus. For I, through the law, I am dead to the world, to the law, that I might be alive unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. The life that we live now is the life that was obtained by Jesus. And that free you and I from the curse of the law. Bible says in Galatians chapter 3 verse 13. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13. I want you to understand that the law of the flesh cannot rule over you any longer. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the cross. Christ was made a curse for you. Therefore, you are free from the curse of the law. You are free from the condemnation of the law. You are free from the condemnation of sin. As many that are justified are free. Praise the Lord. Turn to your neighbor, say, I am free. Say, I am free. Say, I am free. I am free. Praise the Lord. I want us to note that we are not living by our works. No, it is by the justification of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The book of Romans chapter 8. I read Romans chapter 8 from verse 12. Romans chapter 8 from verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh, that is to the law, to live after the flesh. Verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Let's continue. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? They are the sons of God. Let's continue. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received what? The spirit of adoption. We are adopted via the death and the resurrection of Jesus, whereby we cry what? Abba Father. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are what? We are the children of God, because we are justified by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. We are no longer under sin. Praise the Lord. In verse 29, that same scripture, verse 29, the Bible says, for whom he did foreknow, he also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus Christ is the firstborn. Let's continue. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Because we are being justified by the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are glorified. We cannot operate under the curse of the law any longer. Let no man trouble you. You cannot be cursed. I said you cannot be cursed, because you have been redeemed from the curse of the law. You cannot be cursed. You cannot be cursed. Even when Balaam was hired by Balak to curse the people of God, he himself said, can a man curse the people that God has blessed? Oh, much more we that are operating under the new covenant. I tell you this morning, I say you cannot be cursed. Don't let any man put fear in you. You cannot be cursed, because you have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Christ has been made a curse for you. Has he made a curse? He has been made a curse. So you cannot be cursed. Don't allow anybody to threaten you and say, which curse is that? You cannot be cursed. Turn to yourself and say, I cannot be cursed. I cannot be cursed, because Christ has been made a curse for me. He's are the implications. These are the truth. Because Christ cannot be cursed, you cannot be cursed. Because his death validates your freedom. Hallelujah. His resurrection validates your eternal life and victory over death. His suffering validates your freedom over suffering. Validate it. It validates it. And I want you to know this morning that as we celebrate Easter, we are celebrating our freedom. We are celebrating our redemption. We are celebrating the living God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Our God so much loved us. I would say, while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. I want you to know this morning that if you don't know Christ, You cannot enjoy this justification. If you have not given your life to Christ, you are still under the curse of the law. Perhaps you have given your life to Christ and you have returned back. You are under the curse of the law. And this morning, the call is coming to each and every one.
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org.